With Montana News, I'm Rosie Costin. Authorities say one man has been killed and another injured in a shooting on the Blackfeet Indian Reservation. Blackfeet law enforcement officials said today that the shooting resulted from dispute near Browning late yesterday. The Great Falls Tribune reports that neither man's identity has been released and no further details were immediately available. The Bureau of Indian Affairs is investigating the shooting. A new report by the Bonneville Power Administration and the state of Montana is promoting the state's renewable energy potential. The new report released last month says Montana could now transmit 360 megawatts of renewable energy to the Northwest, and more capacity will be available after the partial shutdown of the Colstrip power plant by 2022. The study resulted from a Helena meeting in December between energy developers and utilities from across the Northwest to discuss the growing demand for less carbon-emitting power. The Montana Environmental Information Center says the report shows that Colstrip's power can be replaced with renewable electricity with minimal cost or technical modifications. Weather officials say a tractor that was carried away in a tornado last week near the Montana-South Dakota state line has yet to be found. The National Weather Service says last Thursday's storm spawned at least 5 tornadoes in rural Carter County, Montana, and Harding County, South Dakota. The most damaging tornado had winds estimated at 136 miles per hour. It traveled more than 3 miles from Montana into South Dakota, snapping trees and destroying a home and a shed.
With Montana News, I'm Claire Menahan. The U.S. Forest Service is investigating what it's describing as the unauthorized release of employees' personal information, including Social Security numbers. Edward O'Brien reports that most of the agency's 34,000 workers are affected.
The disclosure was made last Wednesday. The Forest Service says the circumstances and motivations behind the unauthorized release are unclear and are under aggressive investigation. It says additional details will be made available when appropriate. The federal government will pay for free credit monitoring for all affected current and former employees, but to retiree Johnny Hodges,
it's terrible pain. It's like getting your credit card stolen. Or worse.
Hodges is secretary of the National Association of Forest Service Retirees, which represents about 650 people across the country. May 29th, Forest Service officials internally confirmed that so-called personally identifiable information was emailed outside of the agency's network. That means an outgoing email inappropriately contained a report with full names, social security numbers, and other personal information belonging to current and former Forest Service employees. No further details were disclosed. Forest Service Interim Chief Vicki Christensen says, quote, the majority of our employees may have had their information compromised, end quote. She notes hers is among them. NAFSR Secretary Johnny Hodges adds this isn't the first time the Forest Service has lost control of private employee information. He says something similar happened a few years ago.
That was an electronic one, and it was a pretty big breach. It's hard to tell on this one how big it is and what all is involved, so we're still waiting for some more details.
Officials say that an investigation is underway and that the agency is making changes to improve its security and handling and accessibility of private information. What that means exactly is unknown right now. What information has been released can be found on our website at mtpr.org. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
An attempt to let Montana voters decide whether to prohibit transgender people from using the restrooms and locker rooms of their choice has come up short. Supporters of the Montana Locker Room Privacy Act got fewer than 10,000 signatures. They needed more than 25,000 to qualify for the November ballot. The Billings Gazette reports they had until June 20th to submit enough signatures. Montana Family Foundation CEO Jeff Laslaffy declined to discuss the initiative with the newspaper. Similar legislation failed in the Montana legislature in 2017. Transgender advocates praise the initiative's failure. Authorities say a Great Falls woman stole a front-end loader and drove it into the apartment building where she lived. Prosecutors charged 34-year-old Heather Houston with felony theft, criminal mischief, and criminal endangerment, along with misdemeanor criminal mischief and criminal trespass to property. Authorities estimate $1,600 in damages to the apartment building, $1,000 in damages to the front-end loader, plus damage to a lawn, a gate, a fence, and a pickup truck. Montana's Environmental Quality Council is trying to find a fair way to raise $6.5 million a year to fund prevention of aquatic invasive species. Nikki Willett reports.
The money would pay for most of the 30-some boat inspections and decontamination stations statewide, lake sampling, and education and outreach about aquatic invasive species. The state ramped up its AIS program in 2016 after invasive zebra and quagga mussels were detected in Tiber Reservoir. The mussels have had devastating impacts in states they've invaded. Currently, Montana funds its AIS program through fees on hydroelectric producers and co-ops, and a prevention pass anglers are required to buy. Libby Senator Chaz Vincent chairs the EQC, which is considering what he calls a buffet of options.
While it seems on its face like an easy task, once you start getting into where these sources are going to come from, it gets complicated. The issue of fairness is really what we're trying to strike a balance on.
The EQC is proposing a combination of state general fund money, gas taxes on motorboats, and angler and boat fees, which would apply to canoes and kayaks as well as motorboats. Depending on public feedback the council receives through July 9th, it may recommend its proposal during the 2019 legislative session. Vincent says regardless of where the funding comes from, the state needs to continue its strong defense of Montana's waters.
The program needs to continue. I think folks are finally coming to terms with what it means. What does zebra mussel infestations mean to the state and to our way of life and to things like our energy bills?
FWP has screened 6,000 boats since opening inspection stations in March and prevented 5 infested boats from heading out on the water. The EQC will accept comments on its funding proposal through Monday, July 9th. Details are on our website, mtpr.org. I'm Nikki Willett, Montana Public Radio.